You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on WJFF.
And that's my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
The show is like Mother, Like Son?
Yes. That's right, with
really?
The question mark.
With a question mark.
You know, it's a mother's son thing.
And coming up on Like Mother, Like Son, comedian Seth Herzog and his mother, Kira Herzog.
You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on Radio JFF. This is my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
We're in the studio with our producer, Mark Sutton.
First step, as Ramsey reminded me last time when we started, and Patricia reminded me this time, but I pressed the record button.
That would help.
I think it's totally superfluous.
Yeah, you know,
waste of time.
It's not about the audience, but us.
It's about the experience.
About us having a terrific time.
That's exactly right. So we're really excited today on Like Mother, Like Son to have with us our first ever mother son combo, who's going to join us on Like Mother, Like Son. So I would like to give a hearty Like Mother, Like Son welcome to the Herzogs.
Hey, that's us.
And this
Hi.
Is the mother, Patricia, here with Ramsey, my son, and in a way his, but our sidekick, Mark. So I want to first ask you, Kira, because I think about this often when I'm in this room with these two young men. I sometimes feel like Gracie Allen.
I love
on the
her.
George Burns and Gracie Allen show.
She's
like, I'm the
hero.
One like what? Who? I can say and do things that I have to check and see what's going on. So how do you find that, working with your son? And I'll go on. I'll let you explain it, that you do a comedy routine every Tuesday night with your son and his sidekick.
Yes, that's true. And sometimes on purpose, I add old timers. I'll say something about Al Jolson or, you know, Eddie Cantor.
Right, right.
Just to see if someone responds, like,
knows who you're talking
about.
Who
he is, you know,
no
right.
one does.
Johnny Ray, you know.
Right.
Sometimes they knew Johnny Ray, but he's a little bit more current, but not that much.
He's a little more current
than Al Jolson.
Johnny Ray? I know who Johnny Ray is. Let your hair down and cry.
I'm not 90. Excuse me.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Exactly.
So let's go back again. So, Seth?
Yes, sir.
Tell the audience about your show that you do every Tuesday night.
I've been doing a weekly comedy show called Sweet, which was on Thursdays for years, and it's now on Tuesdays. And
where is it?
It's a show where I write a new show every single week, and I have 3 to 4 guests, and 3 to 4, like, comedians that I love. Who either do stand-up or characters or sketch or something odd. And in the show, I write a new monologue every week, and I write, like, some sort of character piece. And what I started doing, I needed a third segment for the show, and Mom and I had been doing a bunch of sort of spontaneous bits in the past. So one night, I sort of brought her up as, like, the third segment, and it was really funny, and it worked really well. And I didn't, and we do it spontaneously. We don't write anything. We don't
rehearse at all.
Although it seems very rehearsed, it seems very tight, I know.
Not an ounce of rehearsal.
So I sort of brought her up one time, and it sort of stuck. So we've been doing it.
For how long now? How long have you been doing it?
Well, I've been doing the show for about 3 years. We've been doing this every week for about 2. First year, we didn't do it every week. We did it every once in a while.
Right, right.
All right, so why don't we just jump right to the clip? This is a live recording of you guys doing the show, and actually somebody has done an animation to this.
Yes, Scott Bateman, who's a cartoonist, and his medium is he takes live audio from either comedy shows or people on the street and does cartoons with the live audio. It's very funny. And he came to my show and took this clip of me, Mom, and Michael Showalter, who was my sidekick that day. He often is at the show.
All right, so this one is Seth and Kira Herzog and Mike Showalter.
This is Ellie, yes.
Les.
No.
My buddy, Les.
My co-worker said Lower East Side. I said,
because you're from here, too.
I didn't know.
No.
I don't know the slang.
Yeah, it's slang. Abbreviation, slang, whatever.
It didn't say L, period, E, period. period, S period. It said L-E-S. I'm thinking less. I have a cousin, but...
Kira, when you see, like, on a letter and it says USA, without the punctuation, you're like, what's us up? But if there's no punctuation, then you just totally confused.
You know what? She's like, I don't understand all this slang.
What's this? He's from Virginia. Usa? Where's Virginia Usa?
It's too much for me.
Too much.
She needs the punctuation.
She needs punctuation.
It should have. Don't you think? It's a... abbreviation.
I actually
have a period.
I totally agree with you.
It should have periods.
They should be like they should be. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Yes. And we all know what that means.
Things should be like things.
They should be the way things should be.
They definitely.
Like what else?
Why do you have on holy pants that I can't stand?
Oh my God. How much of a mother comment was that? Why do you have on pants that I, why do you have on holy pants that I can't stand?
Yeah,
that's a recurring theme.
Right, and
recurring,
then,
typical.
And then, well, I'm going to say about the clip, what I found interesting was the L-E-S. This isn't me, but most people say UPS, but my father always called it the Ups Man. So it may be generational. Who knows?
Well, that's funny. There is those things, yeah, like, because there's no periods between it, I guess the Ups Man would be completely appropriate.
Right, yeah. That's what he was called.
And there's no periods in L-E-S, and I thought it was, you know, someone's name. You know, Les.
That makes sense, Les.
I thought it was Les.
You thought the neighborhood was named after a dude named Les?
I didn't know it was a neighborhood. Like, it just said...
Les Kirschenbaum. He invented the neighborhood.
It was Les.
Well, it's
know?
Like Soho. It's that's not S period O period H period O period.
Well, speaking of
Soho, is
a
conjunction.
A
that's a conjunction of two different words.
It means speaking of
house.
Les and Soho,
also,
and everything.
The neighborhood in England, in you know,
well,
right. In
its
London,
own, it's its own word.
Yeah.
People do not say Les. They say the Lower East Side.
No, yeah, no one ever says, no, you're the only one who ever says less.
But
exactly.
Nobody says LES. I'm going down to the LES. I've never heard that either.
That's just like a subway. Well, speaking of LES and Soho, both of you have been in New York your entire life. Are you real Manhattan people?
Not at all.
No. I grew up in the Bronx, but then for a long time, like 40 years, I've lived in New Jersey, and I've just returned. And Seth was actually, he was born and grew up in Princeton, New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm a suburbanite, and Showalter actually grew up when I grew up together in Princeton.
So what brought you to New York is that wonderful apartment you got?
Yeah.
Oh, you've heard of his apartment?
I've heard of that
apparently
apartment.
Everyone has, and I try and run from that. Like, it's not, that's not something I ever talk about.
Just tell us briefly the size of it.
My own apartment. I said, oh, good, can I stay at your house? Because at that time I was still in Princeton. And he said, no. And I said, no, why not? He said, Mother, there's not going to be enough room for you. And I couldn't imagine.
She couldn't imagine.
What he was talking about until I actually saw the apartment. I mean, you open the door and that's the whole apartment right there.
It was one room.
It's
not even.
I call it a stew because it's too small to be a studio.
And you made a whole skit about that. That's quite famous.
A skit. Well,
and a movie, and two movies, and a whole bunch of things. Tell us just a little bit about it. Although you just said you don't like talking about it.
I was living up on 48th and Broadway my first year in New York, and that got very expensive very fast. And a friend of mine from college was living in this teeny apartment on 28th and Broadway. And I came over to hang out with him one day, and I was sort of looking for a new space. And he had gotten a job in Prague teaching English, I guess was the style of the time. And because that was like the rage to do in 1994. So he said, should I go to Prague? Should I stay in New York? I was like, you should go to Prague, man. You should get out of here and go to Prague. I wanted the apartment. So I convinced him to go to Prague, and then I said, what's going on with your apartment? And I made him give it to me. So it's a teeny, teeny space, and I have a lot of stuff. Like any normal person, I have a lot of stuff in it. And so the apartment is filled with just all sorts of stuff. And then the documentary, and when I was going to clean it out, I was going to throw everything away, and I told some friends, I was throwing everything away, and they said, well, we want to document it. So they came over with some cameras, and I started talking about my apartment and all my stuff as they filmed it, and then they went and interviewed all my friends about all my stuff. and it became this documentary that's fairly cult.
Now, when he says stuff, he doesn't just mean stuff. He means big time stuff.
It's not that much stuff. It's only because it's a small
big
space. It would look like a lot. If it was in a bigger space, it would seem like nothing.
Well, one of your friends said he lives like you and me, only more so.
Yes, that's the tagline. I don't even know what that means.
Which is more of everything, maybe.
It sounds good.
Right. Well, was this a documentary or a docudrama?
It was. I like to tell people who have seen it. Like, there's certain times people will have seen it or heard about it, and they give me a look like they can't believe it. And I just tell them that it was that we faked it. I was like, we built that set. It took us a month to build that set. It was like we scripted the whole thing out. It's just a documentary. It's just a funny, sweet documentary.
You still have the apartment?
I do, not for long though.
What?
The building got sold, and they're going to turn it into a hotel. And
that's going to be the presidential suite.
What's that?
That'll be the presidential suite.
Exactly.
Well, our producer Mark Sutton scored the music for that.
That's right.
So, got to hear that just for the music, if for nothing else.
Mark did a great job with it, actually. That's some of the best stuff about it, the music.
Cool. And by the way, that movie, if anyone wants to go learn more about it, it's called Zog's Place, and there is a website called zogsplace.com.
But you can't find out much more about it than what's on the site. They used to sell the movie on the site, but they stopped selling it a couple years ago. So there's really no other way to see it except for if you know someone who bought it during the window of time, which I think adds to the mystique of the film.
Whether it's real or not.
I never got my copy.
And you never will.
I know. He stole my copy.
Well, I didn't steal your copy. I just have it.
Tell us about how you got into quote show business. I mean, you're working with Michael Showalter, who's the two of you have been all over the place. I think, you've done Entourage, The Baxter, Prime. I mean, your list on IMDb, which we looked at, is
very short.
Well, no, it's pretty impressive.
It's impressive.
I was always an actor and always a performer since I was very, very young. I mean, in first grade, we did the Mickey Mouse Club, my first grade class, and I was very, very into it. I even remember thinking, this is such a weird memory, we all had to pitch jokes in first grade when our class was doing the Mickey Mouse Club, and this one kid pitched a joke which I thought was terrible, but everyone seemed to think it was really funny. And I just remember thinking at the time, like, I was going to say, no, I don't like that joke, but I think, you know what, let him have it, he doesn't know any better.
So wait, you're following in the tradition.
He was the expert, even.
Yeah.
You're following in the tradition of Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake and...
Oh, right, but it wasn't the on-TV Mickey Mouse Club, it was like our first grade class was doing like a one-off version of it live in our gym, in the school gym. But yeah, I've been performing, a little bit in elementary school, and then I did my first professional play in fourth grade, and I did three or four.
Did Christmas Carol
in fifth grade
at McCarter, which is a professional theater in Princeton.
Yeah, it's a big regional theater, and I did three plays there, and then I went to Stage Door Manor, which is a tremendous theater camp
after
upstate.
After much arguing with
what?
Me, because you're only 10 years old, and that was supposed to be only for teenagers. And I said, no, you're too young to go.
From 8 to 18, baby.
No, it was not.
It was, yes, it was.
Well, you might have been 10, but maybe you acted like you were 8.
I acted like I was 11.
Oh. Yeah, he acted like
I did not.
Anyway, I said...
So I went there for 5 summers where I learned a tremendous amount about
now, which summer camp, drama camp was this?
Greystone Manor. It's in the area where you guys are in right now.
Stage Door
in,
Manor.
Lock Sheldrake.
That's what I thought. That's what I wanted to find out. Yeah, and there's also French Woods up here, which is a camp.
I don't hear that. I didn't hear when you said that. I didn't accept that place.
Well, I see. We got a little camp competition going up here.
I've certainly known some French Woods kids that are in town. They're fine.
Okay.
No, Stage Door is a great place, and there's been 2 films made about that camp already.
Oh, okay, yeah. Which was one of the films? I think
The movie Camp was the narrative that Todd Graff made, and then Alexandra Shiva, who's the wife of my friend John Sherman that I went to camp with, made a documentary called Stage Door.
Okay.
They're both great.
Well, I was sort of interested in some of the movies. You were in Prime, mm-hmm. which I find interesting because it kind of was about a mother and son.
It
right?
is. Prime is about a therapist mom,
uh-huh.
which is what I have.
Right. Meryl Streep and your mom.
I do
okay.
counseling.
Right. And her son, who's much younger than me, which I auditioned for that role originally, but I was a little too old for it. And then he goes out with a woman who's 15 years older than him, but then who's also the client of the mom.
Right.
And hijinks ensue.
Yes, of course. Right.
And so,
but
Kira,
I
how did...
that randomly. Ben Younger, who's the writer-director of that movie, had been a fan and a friend of mine from like 3 or 4 years ago. And he's on my newsletter. I have this weekly email I send out to all my friends and fans about the show that we do together and other such stuff going on in my life. And I always write a little blog. I write a little, like, this is what happened to me this week story or something like that, or my opinion about what's going on in the news. And Ben was always a fan of that newsletter, and then my agent sent me out for his movie, and then I emailed him and was like, oh, I just auditioned for your film. So he had me come in again for a different part. And then he's like, you know what? I'm not going to cast you as the part you just read, but I'm going to find a place for you in here somewhere. Yeah. So we created this little role for me in the movie.
How did you like that movie, Kira?
I thought it was cute.
Cute
no,
or a toot?
It was just cute.
Okay.
I liked the whole idea. But I don't think it was fabulous.
You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on Radio Jeff. We'll be right back with Seth and Kira Herzog. And here's some music from Mark Miller and his band, Slide Huxtable. Seth and Kira Herzog, you're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on Radio Jeff.
Kira, how did you get duped into your stage,
literally, your stage career?
Great.
Well, she likes, I mean, I dragged her on stage, but it was like she's like the Lucille Ball. I mean, she's been trying to get in on the act since the beginning.
That's not true.
I would think she was in on the act since she's your mother.
Thank you.
Right.
Well, how do you set up the Tuesday shows?
Set it up. What do you mean?
You just walk on, or do you have say, okay, Mom, we're going to talk about this, or Kira, you said.
I get to the third part of the show, right before the final act.
Right.
And I say, here comes the moment in the show you guys all came for, a little section of the show called What's on My Mom's Mind.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mom. And then she comes on stage to a fanfare of applause.
Oh, you're exaggerating. Thank you.
It sounds a lot like that. Two hands clapping.
Right. It's better than one hand clapping.
One, exactly. Slightly better.
And I don't have anything at all rehearsed.
Oh, you don't? And do you have a topic, or do you know what's on your mind?
Yeah, do you know what's on your mind? I always trust that something's going to happen.
I don't. Not always.
Oh, really? I say she's always worried. Like, she literally calls me every time we have a show day, she'll call me at 6 in the afternoon before the show. She's like, I have nothing to talk about.
I'm not
today.
Going on today. I don't have anything to say.
I was like, well, you'll come up with something. Trust me, the next 2 or 3 hours, you'll come up with something. She always does.
And you do. That's amazing.
Well, it's just an idea, but then he's so talented. He you know, carries it on, and it's still funny, but it's because of him, not me.
And she's usually wearing something outrageous that I can easily play off of.
Oh, work
my outfits.
They're, yeah. I mean, if you were, you know, another Jewish mom from Syosset at Long Island, they'd be perfectly sane. But
well, I'm not into fashion.
No, you're not. Your fashion sense stopped in 1982.
That's about right.
But you still don't like your son's pants.
I still have one of my 1982 clothes.
I know you do, and you wear them every
day.
You're wearing them as we speak.
I like them, yes. I like them. Lots of color that they don't have now.
You're bringing the shoulder pads back again.
Yep, I have them on.
I know you do. I can tell.
So do your clothes make a statement, Kira, do you think, sort of? Or you're just comfortable?
I do follow the herd, you see.
Right.
I'm an independent person. And I like to say I set the trends because I know the trends from 20 years ago are coming back.
They've already come back and gone already. So you're waiting for the next wave.
The next wave.
I'm always a little either ahead of or behind the curve.
Well, you know, I've noticed, I was walking in New York the other day, I felt like it was 1965 or somewhere in the 60s. The clothes that the young women are wearing, the summer clothes, remind me very much of the clothes of the 60s.
Yeah,
not the peasant stuff.
Yeah, the summer stuff is very mod.
Yeah, it's quite different.
But depends what neighborhood you were in, you'd think it was 1984.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or if you were in my mom's apartment.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of tights now, which I'm surprised because it's hot out. You know, why are they in tights?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
You don't have the answer to that?
No, no, it's strange. They have on these shorts or skirts, and then they have on tights. So I'm thinking they don't want anything to happen if they have to bend over or something. They don't want everyone looking up their skirts. I don't know what else to say. I don't understand why you would have on tights when it's so hot out.
Well, we'll take calls at this point on anyone who's wearing tights about why you might be wearing tights.
Seth, do you wear tights?
I'm wearing them now with my short skirt because I don't want anything to, quote-unquote, happen to me.
Right.
I don't even know what would happen to them whether they wear tights or not wear tights.
It would go up.
So they're wearing underwear.
Well, I would hope so, but who knows?
I want to go back to your room, Seth.
This
is always a mother-son
thing.
Although I was sort of interested in, I went to your site, the Seth Herzog site, and you know what's advertised there?
What?
Easy closets. How to organize your closet. Did you know that?
That's what came up on your IMDb.
What site did you look
up? No, this was on your IMDb page.
It inserts
automatic, things based on the interests of the person. So when people type in Seth Herzog, they think, people who want to clean their closets come to your...
Yeah. And there was this little line right next to your name. It says, design your dream...
Was it just a random ad, or that's an ad very specifically placed there?
It's there on our printout. It may be random, but it was funny to see on...
That is very funny, especially if that's random.
And that's the International Movie Database, for those of you who don't...
Right. How to organize your closets ad. That's really funny.
His apartment is a closet.
It is a closet, right.
And that website is not...
A closet. It wouldn't be.
It used to be a wine closet.
It was never a closet.
So what kind of stuff is it anyway? I mean, like magazines.
What have you got in your closet?
You name it, it's in there.
Okay.
Talk about people who don't throw anything out.
Uh huh.
That's Seth.
It's Chinese food.
How old? Let me put it this way. If you need any soy or duck sauce.
Yes, he's got quite a few of those.
I've got some of that.
Those packages that you get at the Chinese.
However, I don't have any hot mustard. I throw that
out. How about
out.
Some Tabasco?
Tabasco? I may be able to conjure up a little Tabasco.
There used to be this joke, we've been married so long, we're on our second bottle of Tabasco sauce. But I think people eat more Tabascos now than
they don't,
used
but to. That's why we only use it very sparingly. That's funny.
Right.
So, you and your mom, obviously have this great relationship where you play off each other. Yeah, but when you're off stage, give us the real scoop. I mean, do you?
We never talk. It's the only time I get to talk to him.
Is on stage.
It's on stage.
Like, literally, Mike once said that it's, you know, that phone call, that Sunday afternoon phone call you make to your parents, you just do it on stage in front of 60 people every week.
Well, there's that famous story, and I just can't remember the name, but of the really rich mother and son in New York City, and the son had just stopped calling his mother. Mm-hmm. And so she put up a billboard right outside of his window that said, Seth, call your mother. That's a true story.
Not her at all. But she'd be too cheap to buy a billboard. She would like spray paint on like a bed sheet.
Right.
That's true.
Do you have other sons?
I have two other children. I have an older son, and then I have a daughter. And he's my baby.
He's the baby.
I'm the baby, if you couldn't tell.
I'm the baby, too.
Yeah, Ramsey's the baby in our family,
too.
Small world. I have a daughter and another son.
The truth is she calls me nonstop. You call me all the time. I'd say 3 or 4 times.
Do you have a special ringtone for her?
He says 3 or 4 times a week is all the time.
That's all the time.
That's all the time.
That's a lot.
I don't think that's a lot. And it's just because I have to, ask you your question, and then I just hang up. I mean, it's not like we chat, It's something that I have to...
Your question's like, where are my keys?
No, I don't ask you where my keys.
That's the kind of question
I know exactly where my keys are.
It's more like, what did you do with my keys,
Seth? What did you do with my keys? Exactly. Exactly.
Why aren't you here on time?
I know some of those calls.
You were a half hour late today.
Well, mothers have a right to be late. Don't
sure,
worry about it.
Exactly.
Sons don't. They should be on time.
My mother is always late.
Oh, really?
Yes. I mean, it's
so that's where
it's
you
not
get
even
it.
A joke anymore. We just it's like if we're going to meet someplace, you're 20 minutes late today.
Well, okay.
But,
mothers
but
have
we just
that
know
right.
it, so that's
a privilege for being a mother. So. Well, I admire you both for doing this, going public with your relationship, as it were.
That sounded appropriate.
Right.
Yeah, we're going public with our relationship. Well, it's funny you say that because a lot of people get the wrong idea because often in our show, we tend to go blue and we'll talk about sort of like sexual topics and Mom will talk about her dating life. And so people, so there's always sometimes like a funny and uncomfortable vibe in the audience because like all of a sudden the mother and son are talking about very dirty things.
Oh.
That dirty.
Sometimes, depends.
Just real.
And it's real, but like so people often in the audience get like a weird vibe. It's like, what is going on? Like that creepy relationship you have with your mother. It's like, I don't think it's creepy. We're totally doing it for the audience's sake. You know?
So I just think I'm talking to a peer. I forget that he's my son.
Exactly.
I think that does
people
happen.
People get the wrong idea.
So tell us how people can come to see your show.
How they can come to see the show. Well, it's at the Slipper Room, which is on Orchard and Stanton, Tuesdays through July. I think we're going to take August off. And then I think it'll either still be there or maybe at a new space. What they can do is they can email me.
And how do they do that? What's your email address?
Should I just say it on the air?
Why not?
Because then I'm going to get all sorts of random emails. Seth Zog at AOL, SETHZOG at AOL. You can email me and get on the list for the announcements about the show.
All right.
And you say you have a newsletter and a blog. Is there a public blog on the web?
It's not a public blog on the web yet. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why people love it, because it's private.
Uh-huh.
It has to be sent to you. You can't find it anywhere.
But people also could just go to the Slipper Room. What time is the show?
Slipper Room, the show, we start pretty much at 9.
Well, I look forward to coming and seeing you both.
I think you should if you've done it wrong.
I'd love to see you.
Yes, it's a lot of fun, and we really thank you a lot for talking to us this evening.
No problem, I had a blast.
Good fun.
Thanks a lot, Seth.
Appreciate
Kira.
It.
All right, that was Seth and Kira Herzog, a mother and son combo, the first ever on Like Mother, Like Son, other than, of course, our resident
mother
and son, Ramsey and Patricia.
Yep, and I want to thank Mark Sutton for producing this show, and remind all of you listeners to volunteer at Radio Jeff. Go to wjffradio.org for more information about volunteering, and our website is likemotherlikeson.org.
Thanks for listening to Like Mother, Like Son. Maybe some of you would like to go public with your relationship with your mother or your son.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Good night.